Lesson 40, 12 Steps to Christ. This lesson begins on page 318 of your book. This audio text version contains the reading of any listed footnotes. As you have grappled with the information presented in this volume, there is much more for you to learn. If you are reading this much after 2020, doubtless, you have seen much of what is discussed within these pages come to pass. You must know by now, that absolutely, positively there is a God. It's entirely your choice, whether to accept, or reject Him. If you wish to accept Him, here's one way to go about it. I describe it as taking 12 steps, down a Roman road. Step 1, to move towards God, we must first admit to ourselves, that we believe in Him. I can state with certainty, that you, and everyone else on the planet, already believes in God. But a person must go further, and actually acknowledge, that He exists. No more saying things like, God is dead, or religion is for the weak-minded. The Bible teaches, that all men have knowledge of God. God says He made it quite plain to us. Romans, chapter 1, verse 9, says, Since what may be known about God, is plain to them, because God has made it, plain to them. End of verse. But this simple belief we all have, only lets us know that He exists. We must do more. We must cognitively recognize, and concede that God is real. You now might be wondering, what about atheists? The dictionary says, an atheist, is someone who does not believe in the existence of a God, or any gods. As I have just shown, Scripture refutes that definition. Thus, there is no such thing as an atheist. God said He has revealed His invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, to each and every one of us. And having been seen and understood, we are all without excuse. Romans, chapter 1, verse 20, says, For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. End of verse. Thus, I define an atheist as someone who denies the existence of Yahweh, God. So, you are in one of two camps, you either acknowledge the existence of God, or you deny that He exists. Everyone believes in God. Now, merely acknowledging that God is real, and coming to recognize Him, is important, but this is only the first step. Believing in God, is not enough. The Bible teaches us, that even the demons believe in God, with sufficient force to tremble at that knowledge. James, chapter 2, verse 19, says, You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe and tremble. End of verse. No, this basic level of belief is not enough. We must go one step further, and acknowledge His existence. But, that's still not the same as saying that you follow Him. Once you realize God is real, it's time for the next step. Step 2, you must have a desire, to actually want to get to know God. For this to happen, a person must come to the realization, that something is missing within their lives. There must be a genuine desire, to search for, and to find God. This desire is driven by a deep-seated need, we each feel for Him. God put what amounts to a hole in our soul, that only He can fill. Everyone has it. If you lack this desire to find Him, you can't go any further. It means that you likely haven't fulfilled, step 1 yet. But I would still urge anyone, to pray for God's wisdom, in helping you recognize His existence. Then, I would call upon Him, and ask for divine assistance. God is faithful, and will answer your prayer. Step 3, we each must realize, that we cannot come to God, in our current state. God is a perfect, righteous, and holy being, who cannot have sin within His realm. We are not good enough on our own, to go before Him. We are sinful, unrighteous, and unholy. The reason for this is, we are all sinners. We all have sinned. Even one single sin makes us unworthy, to go before God on our own merit. We can sense the sin that exists within our everyday lives. We know that we live in a fallen state. The truth is, that most of us ignore, or avoid even the idea of God, leading us into a deeper pit of depravity. Romans, chapter 1, verse 21, says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God, nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened." End of verse. We don't like to admit that we are sinners. Interestingly enough, we just observed that, with how the followers of the Antichrist will behave. We can come to God, but only on His terms. But it begins with a realization that we fall short of His requirements. This only proves that there had to be another way to Him. And that path cannot be designed or influenced by us. Once more, this realization of our sin must be acknowledged by each of us, that we are a sinner. However, there is terrific news: the God of heaven loves you. Step 4, believe that God loves you. And not only that, but He loves you not as you should be, but as you are, right now. Living in sin as a fully fledged sinner. He loves you while you are still a sinner. Even in your sinful state, God is committed to you. The Bible tells us that God loves every single person in the world, and since you are part of this world, that includes you. John, chapter 3, verse 16, says, "For God so loved the whole of humanity, that He surrendered His only Son, that whosoever puts their trust in Him will never perish, but instead be given eternal life." End of verse. You have to admit that God's love is strong and deep enough to care for you. No matter what you've done or how you've lived, God still loves you with the deepest of affection. Step 5, realize that God loved you so much that He took action to save you. God Almighty sent His only Son Jesus down to earth for the sole purpose of dying on a cruel cross of pain. The action God took was to send His Son to earth. God had His Holy Spirit impregnate Mary, and she in turn gave birth to Jesus. Jesus came as the Messiah. That's a word which means Savior. Accepting that God made a way through Jesus His Son is a necessary step to realizing that God had the power to redeem us. And not only that, but God had the will to do it. This action was done for the sole reason that Jesus would pay your sin debt. Jesus took your place on that wooden cross. It's time for more admission and acknowledgement. Step 6, acknowledge that your sin created a debt. You've heard, it's not what you say, but what you do. Well, God loves us so much that He sent His Son Jesus to earth to die for humanity, demonstrating His love towards us while we were yet unrepentant sinners. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, says, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." End of verse. For all have sinned. That includes every human being who ever lived, except for Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that sin is passed down from the Father. Jesus has God as His Father. Therefore, He had no sin at birth. Remember, it is our sin that makes us incompatible with the righteous and holy God. Romans, chapter 3, verse 23, says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." End of verse. That means, without some help, we cannot be with God. The Bible teaches that the consequences of our sin is eternal death. Romans, chapter 6, verse 23, says, "For the wages of sin is death." End of verse. The important point is we must acknowledge that we owe a debt. That is what I mean, we cannot be with God on our own. Someone had to pay our sin debt. We are unable to do so on our own. Well, that's the bad news. There's some good news as well. Step 7, believe God created an avenue for us to be with Him in heaven. He is offering us eternal life. Suppose you invented a remedy that could extend a person's life for, say, 1 year. No matter what was wrong with them, if they drank your potion, they'd live another year. Well, you'd be the richest person who ever lived, by far. God is offering us eternal life. By definition, that is something which cannot have a value placed upon it. It is priceless. The good news is that God's eternal life is completely free. You will literally live forever. And it doesn't cost a dime. Ah, what's the catch, you ask? The catch is that we must believe that our eternal life must come through God's Son Jesus Christ alone. Romans, chapter 6, verse 23, says, "But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord." End of verse. There is no other way to get to God. None. Step 8, realize payment is required for our sin. That payment is eternal death. Since eternal life is priceless, eternal death is as well. God even said that if someone could accumulate all the money in the entire world, it would still be insufficient to pay down a single person's sin debt. So, the only alternative is we get sent to the prison God created for the fallen angels. The Bible calls it the lake of fire. The sentence carries a time equal to eternity. That is how we will be required to pay for our debt. But God made a way for us to bypass that horrible fate. God sent His Son, Jesus. Jesus could do it because He knew no sin. He lived a perfect life. He was thus able to take our place. His death paid our debt and paved the way for us to be made righteous before God. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 21, says, "He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we may be made righteous before God through His death." End of verse. Step 9, we must reach a point where we can trust that God is good at His word and will save us. I cannot even begin to explain to you how that could happen. I can only tell you that the Bible, God's word, says that it can. That is where faith comes in. We must accept that it all happened just the way the Bible tells us that it did. Look, you are seeing prophecy being fulfilled all over the world. Everything is happening in the exact time, place, and manner God said it would. Why would you want to not trust Him at His word? Is there anything else in this world that can begin to approach what God has displayed before us? Step 10, be willing to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that you are a follower of Him. Our confession reflects what is really inside of our heart. The rest is easy. God says that if we are willing to confess with our speech that Jesus is Lord, that means we truly trust that God raised Him from the dead. That means you accept Jesus died in your place. The Bible says, "For with the heart a person believes, resulting in our righteousness before God." That means you are not ashamed of God and Jesus. The net result is you will be awarded eternal life. Romans, chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. End of verse. That's what the Bible says in Romans, chapter 10, verse 13, "Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." Step 11 requires us to stop where we are in life and actually call upon the name of the Lord. That means any person who calls upon God in the name of Jesus to be their Lord and Savior will be heard. The phrase "will be saved" literally means to be rescued. You will be rescued from having to go to the lake of fire. To call upon the Lord simply means to ask in prayer. No other requirement is stated. I have included a sample prayer for you to use. It doesn't matter what words you say or not say. God knows the intent of your heart. He will hear your prayer, regardless of what is said, or not said. Pray to him now. My Heavenly Father, I confess that I am a sinner. For that, I am truly sorry. I know that I require a way to get to heaven, as I admit I could never do that on my own. I believe that Jesus is your Son, who died on the cross of Calvary, in my place, shedding his blood for my sin. He died for me. And he arose from the grave, on the third day, in victory over sin. I claim that victory by faith, because I am trusting you to save me. Please forgive my sin, and come into my heart. I am asking this for the sake of Jesus. I am putting you, God, my Heavenly Father, as Lord of my life. I am trusting Jesus as my Savior, and want to receive you into my heart, to be with me forever. Thank you, God, for saving me. Amen. Step 12, now go out, and begin to tell others about your faith. If you just prayed that prayer, then you are now a child of God. You are now a follower of Jesus Christ. You are now a Christian. Saved by the blood of the Lamb. The angels in heaven are celebrating. Go and find a church of like believers in Jesus Christ. Search for a church that preaches the Bible as the error-free word of God. Look for a congregation that preaches Jesus is the only way to God the Father. A true follower is not ashamed of their faith. They are proud of God and what he has done. Get some knowledge and begin to share the good news with others. Then send us an email telling us of your newfound faith. We have many books and materials in which to get you started. If you are unable to afford these materials, we will get them to you regardless. Just email us at info@dwjdministries.com. We want to hear from you. Send us a summary in your own words about your experience finding Jesus. This is the same thing as confessing Jesus with your mouth. Don't be ashamed of him. Be proud of him. And he will be proud of you. Be not only willing, but be excited about sharing your new faith with others. You will be greatly blessed when you do. And, more importantly, you will be allowing others to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Chapter 7, Study Notes. This space is reserved and available within your book to make any notes you might want to record concerning any material from Chapter 7. Chapter Memory Verse, Acts Chapter 4, Verse 12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. We recommend committing this verse to memory. Simply write it out on a flashcard, with the biblical reference on one side, and the verse on the other. God blesses those who hide the word of the Lord in their heart. Congratulations on finishing the book, Antichrist Revealed. What comes next? You've just finished reading Antichrist Revealed. As you can see, proof supplied by God to man is voluminous, making it quite compelling. But you have just begun the journey. There are more volumes for you to read, study and digest. Each DWJD book has all the relevant prophecies spelled out in detail, along with the supporting verses, definitions and the words from the original languages. Friends, time is indeed short. But not so short that you cannot make the required changes to your life. The Bible is completely true and reliable. This means God is real, relevant, and responsive. He's issuing mankind 3 wake-up calls as the end approaches. Jesus urged his disciples 3 times while praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. See Luke chapter 22, verse 46, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray, that you may not enter into temptation." The word for temptation is perasmon, perasmon, and means to be tested by calamity and affliction. Jesus is urging us to come to him to avoid a most terrible trial by fire. My experience is the modern church is fast asleep, slumbering while the ashes of the fires of tribulation are falling down around them. It's time to wake up and take a strong stand for Jesus Christ. Note to pastors, I am eager and willing to come and address your congregation. If you're interested, just use the email and / or phone number listed on the website to contact us to request a speaking engagement. A member of my staff will promptly return your inquiry to set up a date. There's never a fee for me to come to your church. However, my schedule is beginning to rapidly fill up, so contact us soon. info@dwjdministries.com. This has been Reverend Jefferson Seal. In God's holy name, and for His glory alone. Amen.